Cool.
Also, you may have to forgive me for frequent needs to go use the bathroom because I may or may not have a UTI.
Oh, man. I was going to say, not again with the laxatives.
No. No.
Oh,
I don't know. It's not burning, but like I just have that uncomfortable urge to pee like every 30 minutes.
And then like when you go to pee, it's like one drop and you're like, fuck, I don't even have to pee anything. Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, David's on a mission, or he better be on a mission to go get me some cranberry juice
for after we record. Right now, yes. I was like, you need cranberry juice stat.
Before I get a kidney infection.
I know, we don't want that. We want definitely regular peas for sure.
And you know, this is probably partially his fault, so.
Oh man, really? Why? He's not making you drink enough water or something?
No, the sinful act of premarital sex.
Oh, like the other thing?
Yeah.
I thought that we didn't do stuff like that, so that's why I said that you're not drinking enough water.
No, so I explained to you in a private chat yesterday that on my womanly time of the month, I use soft cups.
Yes, the soft
cups. Which you can quote unquote use during sex. However, I don't recommend it, and that might be why I'm in this situation.
Oh, shit. Oh, my goodness. Wait, how? What? Okay, I also have to Google what a soft cup looks like.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're actually a lot more comfortable than tampons, which is why I use them, but.
Okay.
You quote unquote can have sex with them in, but
okay.
It's not very comfortable and
soft cup.
Are you writing it in your?
No, I'm Googling it. Soft cup. Soft cup. Oh, okay. So see, I was picturing it to look like different.
Like the Diva cup.
Yeah. Like that, but like made of cotton, like a tampon, you know what I mean?
So it was
like,
yeah, no.
How can you do the thing? When you're having it. I see now. Now it makes all of the sense to me. Thank you. That's fine. Okay.
Fabulous. Yeah.
Now
you're
that's
welcome.
Clear, I just, you're I'm welcome. A visual learner, so I just need to see it in action.
Anyway, what a better way to start our last question mark episode of LGBTQ horror than talking about heterosex?
Yes. Heterosex when you only have sex in one position, which is the missionary position, and that's it.
That's God's position.
That was so funny. All right. I'm done.
You say that, but as soon as I start talking.
Oh my god. Anyway, hello.
Hello and welcome to Real Horror Show. I'm your host, Samantha, and I'm joined, as always, by my host, Stormy Skies.
Hello, everybody. It's pretty nice today. It's like fucking really hot. How about there?
Oh, it's very hot today, and okay, so there's a wedding going on at the church I work at this weekend.
Oh, man, okay.
And she's having the reception at the church in, like, the downstairs community area, which is a horrible idea, but I don't – it's her wedding. She can do what she wants.
Yes, yes.
But until today, there was no AC in the basement, so we were terrified – not terrified, but stressed out that it was going to be hot and muggy and moldy when she has her reception down there.
Oh, man.
But we got a portable AC unit.
Nice.
Both of them are meant for women who live upstairs.
Yes.
But we needed one downstairs. So hopefully it all works out. So, yeah.
Nice.
Oh, my God. My beauty blender is, like, so packed with powder right now. I need to wash it.
Listen, when people say beauty blender, I actually, for a split second, like, picture in my mind, like, a blender, like, to make a smoothie. Like a kitchen appliance. And I was like, a beauty blender? Like when you put all your makeup in the blender and fucking blend it and it becomes a makeup smoothie?
Yeah, that's exactly what I mean.
Beauty blender. But I do know what a beauty blender is. It's a little thing. A little sponge.
But do you know who would know what a beauty blender actually is?
Only the super gay icon, horror icon, the Babadook would.
Exactly. The Babadook is a 2014 Australian psychological horror drama film written and directed by Jennifer Kent in her directorial debut and produced by Christina Seiten and Christina Molier. Mm-hmm. The film stars Essie Davis, Noah Wiseman, Daniel Henshall, and Haley McKinley, Barbara West,
Will.
And Ben Winspear. It is based on the 2005 short film Monster and is written and directed by Kent. The Babadook was initially not a commercial success in Australia and was given a limited release in art house theaters. However, after its world premiere at the 2014 Sundance Festival, the film generated more attention in the United States and Europe, garnering a widespread critical acclaim and grossing $7.5 million against a $2 million budget.
Wow.
I'm going to have to look up the short film Monster.
Yeah, absolutely. I had no idea that it was based off a short film. So the short film was probably like really scary. But actually, I'm really impressed with this movie because it is her like directorial debut. And like, wow.
It's like, really good.
Wow. It's really, really, really good. Very impressive. It's fucking scary. It's like, when I first like watched it, I was like, you don't know what to expect with like new movies, like new horror movies. But this one really freaked me out, dude. And it's awesome. I love it. And I loved it so much that we have it on Blu-ray. You have to be a very special movie for me to actually spend some money on it.
Do you have just the normal Blu-ray or do you have the special edition Pride Blu-ray?
I wish I had the flat Pride Blu-ray. No, it's the regular Blu-ray. But I saw that they had that special edition. I was like, fuck, I would buy that.
Yes.
I love it.
So because I'm not sure how many people out of our 10 listeners are aware that the Babadook became a gay horror icon.
Yeah.
I wanted to just kind of read a couple articles about how that happened and how Jennifer Kent feels about it. Spoiler alert, she thinks it's fun. She's fine with it.
Yes. Oh, I would be too. I would be delighted, actually.
Let's see. So this is an article from Vox by Alex Abad Santos. How the Babadook became the LGBTQ icon we didn't know we needed. How terrorizing and a white Australian family became an act of queer defiance.
Nice.
There are two types of people in this world. People who know that the Babadook, the namesake of the acclaimed 2014 Australian horror film as a queer icon, and people who will soon find out that the Babadook is a queer icon. Let's see.
Yes.
Like I think it's, I'm trying to find it. I didn't read it. Let's see. The Babadook's rise to a queer legend is a remarkable one. Its appreciation of a horror movie that turned into a whisper of a joke that is now a well-established meme. Several times throughout the day, my spirit yearns to Photoshop the Babadook, a jaunty top hat and all, with his finger claws wrapped around a brick into old pictures of the Stonewall riots.
Nice.
But it's also a fascinating reminder of how everything you think is strange and funny on the internet is probably the invention of a bored teenager and could be co-opted and destroyed at any moment. Let's see. Because I'm 100% sure I'm looking for the...
The reason, like, why exactly it happened. Like, what
there
happened.
There it is. Yes. So what happened in December of 2016, a few months after Instagram's queer Babadook discovery, an Instagram user posted a picture of a Netflix menu that featured the Babadook in its LGBT movie section. Though there's a solid chance that it's simply an amazing Photoshop. So that picture surfaced after this guy on Tumblr kind of went on a tangent about how the Babadook is a gay icon. Whenever someone says the Babadook, is it openly gay? Did you even watch the movie? It's canon, basically. I mean, he created a pop-up book of himself for the drama of it all. Y'all realize the Babadook was just her depression, right? Yeah, and he was gay. It was all a ham-fisted metaphor for grief after the death of a loved one, not just her depression, but all related stages of grief. No, the Babadook was a man who fearlessly and proudly loved other men in spite of society telling him his love was wrong. Like, watch the movie.
I know, right? A pop-up book of himself.
Why does Tumblr always do too fucking much? It's just a movie, LMAO. A movie about a gay man who just wants to live his life in a small Australian suburb. It may be just a movie to you, but to the LGBT community, the Babadook is a symbol of our journey. The B in LGBT stands for Babadook. Everyone knows this. I cannot understand whether they're serious or not. We're dead fucking serious. We don't tolerate ambiguity in the Baba discourse. Get yourself right before you come back here again. So it just kind of started as a joke, and then the Instagram could be photoshopped picture showed up, and everybody just went along with it, and I'm here for it.
Yeah, I'm here for it too. I'm glad they like didn't get upset, but like they would totally like embraced it. So that's really, really
yeah. Fun and upon the Pride edition re-release of the Blu-ray, Jennifer Kent said, "I'm not sure how it happened, but it's fine.
It's fine." Yeah,
she proudly displays the special edition on her bookshelf. So
nice. That's awesome.
But as far as horror. Sorry.
No, it's okay.
As far as horror icons go, can you think of a better one to be an openly queer icon?
No, because like he has a fabulous hat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's very tall and just neat, you know? So I don't know what else to say. He's pretty much the epitome of the, you know, LGBT horror icon, if ever there was one.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Jason obviously isn't gay because he just hates sex and fun in general. Let's see. Freddie, no self-respecting gay man would wear that god-awful Christmas sweater year-round.
I know. It's all, like, ripped up, too, and he's, like, gross.
I know.
Smelly, probably, so don't want that.
Michael Myers, you know, he seems pretty, like, he cares about his body.
He loves women too much. Yeah, he cares about his body a lot.
You're right, you're right. Like, it's women he's always stalking. Men are just kind of in the way.
They are in the way. Actually, he might hate men, so he kills them.
Yeah.
And, like, whatever. Yeah, whatever.
And same thing with Leatherface. He's very much attracted to women.
Very much attracted to women, yes. Well, speaking of, like, the Babadook, remember when it first came out, they, like, released the book, like, in the movie, The Babadook? And it like quickly sold out. It was like signed and everything like that, like a legit copy of the pop-up. Do you remember that happening?
That must have flown under my radar because I don't remember that.
Well, they did it and they're doing it again soon. But like they did release like, I don't know if it was like, it was like a limited release, maybe like 100, like 500, something like that. So many copies of the book and they were signed by maybe the director or somebody, I don't know. But it's like the book from the movie, the pop-up book. And like, damn, wouldn't it be cool to have that? Like put on your shelf. It's so scary. Mr. Babadook. But yeah, that totally happened. So look into it because they're going to do another, like another run of it. And I think it's like $100 a copy or something like that.
I'm not spending $100 on a book.
I know that. But like if you love the Babadook, dude, if you love horror and you love collecting things, it's like a collector's item.
True that.
You know how it is. You know how it
off is. Off topic, but speaking of collector's items, I finally hung my Real Horror Show canvas.
Oh my god, you'll have to send me a picture of that. I totally forgot that you got that. Or David got that for you or something.
Yeah, I still... since I'm working fewer hours this summer, I won't be able to afford yours for your birthday present. But
that's okay.
When you and Luke buy a house, you will get one.
Yes, because when you do my housewarming party, we will hang it together.
Yes.
I expect it to be in a frame already.
No, it's a canvas, so it doesn't need to be framed.
Oh, okay. Well, even better.
Right. It's a printed canvas art.
Nice. I will put it on the little... like stickies that go on the wall, like the fucking
command strips.
Yeah, thank you. I was like, what the fuck? I just lost it. But yeah, the command strips and stick it on the wall.
No, but the so the company David ordered it from, I think, is in India, and they kind of fucked up because he got a random tracking code for someone else's canvas art a couple weeks ago.
Oh, weird. What was it? Did it say like what the order was though?
No, it didn't say anything. It just said your order is on its way and had an address for like Illinois or something.
Nice. And David's like, okay, cool. I should probably let this guy from Illinois know.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what's so funny is on every time Luke and I go for a walk, like he sends like David a gift and David sends him a gift on like Pokemon Go.
Oh.
It's awesome. But it's cool because I like know where you got the gift at like the Pokestop.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes it's in Christiansburg and sometimes it's like Blacksburg. And I was like, oh, cool, cool.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway, acting and performance.
Yes, absolutely. Fucking phenomenal actress is the lady Ellie and the kid actor. Like, wow. I want my kid to be that funny and cute and clever. He's so cute.
I thought you hated the kid.
No, well, he's like annoying kind of, but like, I like that kid because he's so cute and clever and he like loves magic.
Okay.
Maybe I'm thinking of another kid in another movie that I don't like.
He's probably grown on you.
Yeah. Maybe I did say I hated him before. Well, I really think he's so adorable, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's just so cute. But, yeah, they do fucking great.
No.
Wow.
I mean, they have to. This movie relies on them.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It really does. And you know what? They do not disappoint, like, at all. They do not falter. It's just such an emotionally charged movie. It's like horror, of course, but it like really looks into like realistic aspects of like loss and grief and stuff like that. Very deep.
Yeah. So.
Which is the real horror show of our lives.
Yeah. Cause his father died shortly before the events of the film, correct?
Yes. Yes. Okay. It opens with her in the car in the slow motion accident.
Yes.
On the way to the hospital for her to have the kid. Which is so fucked up. Like, wow, I couldn't imagine.
Right. He died on the car accident as she was going through labor. So that's kind of like a hard thing to go through because your son is in a way the reason your husband died.
Yeah, so he's like kind of like a constant reminder of that like he's not there, but he is, you know what I mean?
Right.
If you could pick, you know, which one. So it's like pretty messed up. But yeah, that's like a messed up thing and it kind of gives you like a good idea of like, you know, I guess like her mental state then. And like it's been 6 years, but like still like – I couldn't imagine how long I would need to deal with an event like that.
Yeah, because while you're bringing a life into this world, you know your husband's life is leaving this world. So those two, your son's birthday is also the anniversary of his death. So there's just this constant reminder. It doesn't really give you a chance to get over it the way a normal death would.
Exactly, exactly. And so in the movie, like, the kid's birthday is always on, like, another day. And so that's kind of her way of, like, dealing with it. However, she kind of, like, hasn't fully, like, dealt with it 100%. So it's still, like, she hasn't received, like, closure yet. All his stuff is, like, in their basement. And she, like, won't go down there and let her son go down there and stuff like that. She's very protective of, like, him being dead. It's very realistic. Like, I feel like I don't know. I could like see that happening. I could be like, oh, I understand why you're doing this. Like, I get it.
So in a way the Babadook is there to help her through the grief.
Yes. I guess the Babadook can kind of be like a metaphor for like this like bad, angry, upset thing that's been growing inside of her for 6 years, and she just finally can't like let it go any longer,
right?
In a way, but the Babadook is also like a scary monster. Oh man, because the book came out of nowhere.
Yes.
Okay, it was just on their shelf and we don't know how it got there, which is like the mystery of the movie. Like, how come they have that book? It was on the shelf, nobody put it there. But I believe their acting was fantastic all the way through. I can't say enough about that. Yeah, everything was good.
It was great.
It was fine. Yeah, it was very good.
It was A-okay.
Yeah, like, there's nothing bad about it. Like, she especially the end, like, there's just one scene where she just, like, expresses, like, grief and, like, terrible sadness, but also, like, anger and also, like, strength and bravery, mm-hmm. like, all at once. And it's, like, really incredible. And she's just an extremely strong, like, female actress and being led by a equally strong, like, female director. So it's just great.
And yeah, compared to just child actors in general, he was really good, because usually, especially in horror films, you don't get great performances out of them.
Exactly. Yeah, you really don't. And he has, like, such a great little personality at his age. Like, and he's so clever. Like, he has, like, the cleverest, like, responses. You know, it's like he says things that you wouldn't expect, like, a typical six-year-old to say in response to an adult. You know what I mean? So he, of course, is because he's acting, but still, like, if he's acting like her six-year-old, he's just really clever and bright. And that's really cool. And that's another aspect of the movie, of just, like, accepting how your child is instead of wishing them to be like the other kids. But we'll get into that later.
Yeah, so I guess let's move on to story.
Yes, great story. great story, great, great, great.
Guys, I don't know if you've heard of The Babadook, but it's just a really good movie.
Yeah, it's a good movie. The story, it's a scary movie, and it's just this, like, slow buildup of, like, very creepy things that, like, make you nervous, even, like, just, like, normal stuff. Like, in the beginning, the kid, like, climbs up really high on top of a swing set, and, like, the music makes you just so nervous that he's gonna jump off. And then, like, later on, like, it becomes, like, little blips of the monster that you see, just, like, the smallest little blip of it on the camera, and that just, like, freaks you out. And it just, like, these tiny little things, and you barely see the monster. And, like, Mr. Babadook, and it's just, it works very, very well for me. I could be critical of, like, the scary in movies sometimes, but this is, like, perfect for me, in my opinion. I think that it does scary so well, and I'll still find myself, like, jumping, even though I know, like, what's going to happen next. Can't help it, because it just makes me, you just get nervous as you watch it. It just gives you this feeling.
And, you know, the overarching theme of The Babadook is grief and how to cope with loss. And it's just interesting how this book and this monster kind of are manifestations of the mother's grief and the denial of her husband's death.
Yeah, she is in, like, denial for sure. Absolutely.
Because she doesn't let anyone bring up her husband's name,
right?
Yeah,
she doesn't. Like, she gets upset when they, like, bring him up. And then, like, she gets defensive when they say, like, well, you never let us bring him up. Like, you always do this when we bring him up and stuff like that. And she's like, well, like, how can I not do this? And they're like, well, it's been 6 years. You know what I mean? Like, so she gets really defensive. It's like, but what, you know, what can you do? It's such a tough situation. But she's definitely just, like, in denial. She won't even, like, go down in the basement and look at his stuff. She doesn't let the kid go and look at his stuff. And he starts to, like, get upset about that, and he just wants to, like, you know, see his picture and be with his things and kind of have, like, this, like, inkling that he existed, you know.
And there's a lot of selfishness that goes along with that, and I mean, everybody can grieve in their own way, but her husband didn't just belong to her. He belonged to his friends and his other family and his son, who doesn't know anything about him other than he died on the day he was born.
Yes. There's another thing that they say in the movie whenever the kid just, like, kind of says, they say that he says what's on his mind, and they say Oscar, who is the dead husband, is just like that. He's just like his father. And so I feel like she she gets mad when they say that too, you know, and she's like, he's not normal. She, instead of accepting that he's like his father, she says like, he's not normal. You know, I wish he could just be normal. He's different from the other kids, you know, blah, blah, blah. But that's only at the end does she like accept that, yeah, like that's his nature. That's his personality. He's like his dad. That's just how it is. It happens. It's a weird thing, yeah, but that it happens with the personality thing.
So sad and horrifying that her grief has manifested into this resentment towards her child. The scene that I always remember is where she almost crashes the car to kill them both and they just start screaming at each other.
Yeah, definitely. And she like hits that dude's car, like she kind of bumps it, but like, yeah, she does crash the car. And the kid's saying like, I didn't want you to like let it in, like don't let him in. Which is kind of saying like, don't let like your grief and anger like completely control you. And it's like she's kind of like, and like combating herself like with that. And so yes, that there's this like shocking scene that like always like gets me when I see it. And it's like she's sitting, it's one of those scenes where like she's, this character like barely ever gets any sleep, so she kind of like sits up and like watches the TV with her son. And when she's like really having like issues with the Babadook and it's kind of like taking control, she's like sitting there watching like a cartoon, and she looks over and her son's like dead on the couch because his throat was slit. And she like stands up and starts crying, and then like she wakes up, it's like a dream. And like once I said, I was like, oh, it gets me every time, like Jesus Christ. But like as you watch the movie, like she gets like so, you know, messed up and demented that like, shit, could you just be sitting there and just like fucking look over, and you're just like, oh shit, I didn't mean to do that, but I was in such a rage, you know, that happened. And it just really is a shocking but like very strong, powerful like image there.
Yeah, and it's also got a lot to say about postpartum depression if you don't get that shit treated.
Yeah.
You know, there was a viral Facebook post going around with a mother's last picture with her baby before the mother killed herself. And
oh my gosh.
Just things like that don't manifest in ways that the outsiders can see them. So I do think the Babadook does a good job at showing that, because, you know, to people who don't know them that well, they just look like your typical stressed single mom with her weird little boy.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. But they're like dealing with so much shit. You know, like people have just like no idea. And like that kind of goes to show with like that there's a good character that kind of like shows that. And that's like the neighbor, the older lady. And she like comes over one night when she's like all like in control by the monster. And she's like, hey, I just wanted to come and check and make sure like you're okay. Because like I know this time of year could be hard for you, because it's like that's like the birthday week, which is also like the death day week. And she's like, just let me know if you need anything. Like, I love you. I'll do anything for you and your son. And like, little do we know that like she just like killed the dog. You know what I mean? So like, you never know what's going on, and you can say, you know, all that and stuff like that. But it's really
jumping ahead to the ending. Do you think? Yeah. Her relationship with her son is better by the ending, but do you think she's still in denial about what happened with her husband? I can't really remember. I know at the end the Babadook lives in the basement, but did she take her husband's stuff out of the basement, or is it still down? Okay.
Yes. So I think by then that she kind of like, yeah, she takes the stuff out, and like the one thing that is like a giveaway that she has kind of moved on and she has accepted that is she allows his birthday to be on the day that it's supposed to be, you know, his actual day. And so, and then like whenever he says to, it's like the two like child services people are in their house, and the kid always says like, my dad died on the way to the hospital, some of them could have me. And like, she's usually like, oh, don't say that. But like, she's pretty open with like how he says it. And like, it's, there's nothing to hide, you know, that, that there's nothing, that's nobody's fault. It's just what happened. And she's not afraid for him to say that anymore. And kind of comes all the way full circle, and she's okay with it, and they're happy. And I believe that he does that magic trick and makes the white dove appear. And like, maybe that means something, like all is peaceful in the world right now for them. I don't know.
I think that white dove is the one that later drops a feather in the movie Forrest Gump.
Well, that is a very legendary bird then. But also, like, if my son like did a magic trick and made a live bird appear, I'd be like, honestly, you need to tell me how you did that. Like, how did you make that happen, please? Because there's no way. It doesn't, that's not real.
And also, where did you get the bird?
Yeah, that's the real horror show. It's like, how did he do that trick? The fuck? And it's like a docile bird. It doesn't even fly away. It's just, the fuck? Oh my God. Anyway. But yeah, fabulous, fabulous story. We just like, if you haven't seen it, watch it. If you watched it and you don't like it, that sucks. But it's, I think it's a fantastic movie.
I don't get how, other than the fact that maybe this movie gets a little too much hype and it doesn't live up to the hype that people give it, I don't see how anyone could hate this movie unless it goes back to a, there's this stupid like meme going around that says put better horror movies on Netflix. But this movie was on Netflix for the longest time.
And it was. And I'm actually like surprised that it's not on there anymore. And I feel bad that you can watch it because like it was on there for years, dude, like at least 2 years.
And it, 2 years. Honestly, part of doing this podcast, it's kind of introduced us to both good and bad different horror movies. So it's just like, what do people want in a horror movie? If they just want the same old slasher stuff, that's fine. There's plenty of that on Netflix, but you need to get out of your comfort zone with what you define as horror.
Yes, you absolutely do. And that's why even like for the first like year or so that we were doing this, like it was alphabetical order, but we like sat down and watched those movies, dude, and we talked about the good and the bad. And I feel like we have like a pretty good like repertoire of like what is just bad, you know, and like what is like pretty good. People who like, people put, you know, movies on Netflix and they really try, you know, and what's scary to you may not necessarily be scary to me, and like vice versa. Everybody's different. Everybody, you know, has different tastes.
But like 5 years ago, if I had watched a movie like Thelma, I wouldn't have thought it was a very good horror movie. But now for the times we're in,
yeah,
I think that's one of the best horror movies that's come out in the last few years.
Isn't that right?
Along with The Babadook, I think. Absolutely. We're in a time where we need to accept that horror itself is kind of getting quieter. It's less about gore and shock value and more about psychological trauma.
Yeah, it's like part of like the human condition. It's like inertly within us, and it's stuff that we don't want to talk about. So it's like very artfully put in a movie like that in the form of something else, like a monster, but it's something that we can all identify with in like even the smallest ways. Even if you're watching it and you're like, you don't even get, you know, the layers or the metaphors or anything that you see as a scary monster movie, it's still going to scare you. Mm-hmm. Because like, it's the story of a monster that's real, and it's so real that the mom can't protect the kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, what's scarier than that?
Nothing.
Yes. And what's scarier than that?
And this movie is just, it's beautifully shot, and it's just so quiet and muted, and it just builds on itself layer upon layer, because the scares come from the Babadook, but the real horror comes from this grief and resentment a mother has towards her child, and then the child not having a sturdy home foundation.
Yeah, exactly.
That shit happens all the time in real life.
Does, yeah.
Speaking of relevant horror films,
yeah.
I don't know if you've been watching the After Dark series Blumhouse has been putting on Hulu.
You mean the is it called After Dark or like Until Dark or Into the Dark? Yes.
Their 4th of July installment is actually going to be about immigration. So that's going to be interesting.
I saw a trailer for that actually on Hulu. So the one thing on Hulu now that's the End of the Dark, that's like the They're Watching.
They Come Knocking.
Thank you. At least you knew what I meant.
I knew what you meant.
But what else, you're going to have to tell me like what else has been on there, because when I Google Into the Dark, it just has that most recent movie. You're going to have to tell me all the other ones because I was trying to keep up with it, but I've kind of slipped through my fingers a little bit. So you got like
veering from a Babadook before we get into production.
Okay.
Into the Dark is an anthology horror movie series, and they release horror movies correlating to a holiday in each month. So, let's see.
What was They Come Knocking for? Yeah.
They Come Knocking is Father's Day. All That We Destroy was for Mother's Day. April 1st, which is probably my favorite in the series just because I love neon lights and it had a very neon light 70s aesthetic, was I'm Just Fucking With You.
Oh, okay.
Let's see. What else was
there? If I just go on to Hulu and like type in like
Into the Dark, you'll find
it. Into the Dark, I'm gonna search for it. I'll find it. Okay.
Treehouse, which is everyone's favorite. That was Ides of March.
Okay.
Down, which is probably my favorite, is Valentine's Day. New Year, okay. New You. Have not watched Puka, Flesh and Blood, and The Body.
Huh. Wow.
And Culture Shock is coming out July 4th, and this thriller follows a young Mexican woman in pursuit of the American dream who crosses illegally into the United States.
Listen, that actress is in a Netflix series called Altered Carbon, and she is banging. Wow. But yeah, she's a fantastic actress too, so I'm glad to see her in a movie, but like that's a great show, so definitely look into that. It's not a horror show. Sci-fi.
But yeah, that's going to be a very socially relevant horror movie.
Yeah. Yes. So I actually have seen that trailer on Hulu, and I do know that it is for the Into the Dark thing, but like I didn't know I like missed so much. Like, Jesus. I'm going to get on that.
But horror as a whole is supposed to represent the feelings of society. That's why you have all these alien movies in the 1950s, slasher movies with The Final Girl coming into relevance during the second wave of feminism, torture porn after 9/11, and now we're getting more psychological, quiet horror movies just because that's the state of mind we're all in right now.
Yes, exactly.
So just because we're not getting the horror movies of the 1980s and 90s doesn't mean that they aren't good horror movies. You just got to be smarter.
Yeah, you have to be smarter. You have to understand what was going on, you know, like socially, economically, politically at the time, and like how that, you know, reflects in, you know, the pop culture and the movies that came out at the time. Of course, it's going to be, you know, generational, and it's going to be by decade. It's going to change. You're going to see the big shift. Mm-hmm. And right now, what's scary is ourselves.
Yes.
And what is happening right now, like in the world.
And I don't think any movie represents that better than Babadook.
Babadook. Yes, I agree. This is a special movie, and it's going to be one that it's a movie that I wouldn't mind like watching and rewatching and watching again, because I don't get tired of it. You know,
are you excited about The Nightingale? Nightingale.
Yeah. Yes. I've really kept my eyes on this director since this. And so her second movie, The Nightingale, which seems to be a colonial period piece horror film, which what's scarier than that?
Ooh, it's got Sam Coughlin in it.
Who's that?
He's just a handsome British guy.
Nice. Yeah. So it's can't wait. I can't wait for all the like shit that's gonna come out, so I'm very excited about that one, as well as the dude that directed The Witch. He's gonna have a new one called The Lighthouse coming out soon ish It's not ready yet. I don't even know what the fuck. I need to like get with my dates here.
So moving on to production for The Babadook. I think it's beautiful. It's the atmosphere of the movie does a great job at showing how the characters are feeling on the inside. Because it's just got this gray, dreary hue over it.
Yeah.
And it's set in Australia, right?
Yes, yes. Really thought it was
Britain. The and that's not idiot. Yeah. Because when you think of Australia and look at other Australian movies, it's always like
bright sunny. There's a goddamn beach.
Yeah.
Desert.
So this just felt a lot.
I thought they were in London because it's fucking dreary in London, dude. Yeah. Ugh. Also, you know, I thought they were in like London or Britain or something because that girl, the main character, she's in like a couple episodes of Game of Thrones, and I thought that was like Brits only.
Yeah,
she could be a British actress and like could be like in Australia. I don't know.
Yeah. So I'm trying to think of another Australian horror movie I watched a while back where a girl is trapped on an island that's haunted by the ghost of, I think, a slave girl who was raped and murdered on the island, and it's mostly psychological. But even that was very bright and sunny. So,
yeah. But this one, it's like shit. This house is like it's like haunted. You know, this basement is spooky. It's just dull. The color palette is washed out. Everyone is tired. It's like daytime, it's nighttime. I can't tell because there's always like a weird light, and I don't know, it must be nighttime because she's sleeping now, but she's not sleeping. It's confusing, and it gets you all confused because it's like goes against like day and night and light and dark, and it's just kind of dreary. You're exactly right, it's just dreary.
It's so stylized, and it in a weird way it reminds me of like the Monty Python animated sketches.
Okay. Yeah. For all you people that aren't like me and watch that, yes, I'm sure they're shaking their heads and agreeing, nodding their heads and agreeing.
Just the kind of stilted, clumsy animation. Yeah,
it could like easily be creepy if you just made it creepy, because this shit's creepy. And
I'll send you a Monty Python animation so you know what I'm talking about.
We need not forget that, like, although it does have very slight, like, scary images, that score will make you fucking jump. And it's not like, oh, this is a jump scare movie. It's cheap. It's like, no. Like, you're already scared. You're already, like, nervous. And then it's like, it just, like, gives you that one extra push off the cliff. Just turns it right up to 11. Uh-oh. Will it like, play the sound on my mic?
Right, it should. If I'm coming through your mic, then the video will come through your mic.
Yeah, like, I don't like stuff like this, Sam. Like, this stuff freaks me out. Like, but yeah, it's exactly that. But, like, spooky and terrifying, and it's Mr. Babadook, and he's, like, a big, tall guy with really, really long arms and a top hat, and it just makes you scared because it's bigger than you, and it's, like, it's almost got that, like, Slenderman idea where it's, like, it's so big and tall that it, like, freaks you out because it's, like, unnatural, you know. Portions are all wrong. And the book is scary because it has those, like, scary, like, pop-up freakish cartoon drawings of her like strangling her kid and cutting her throat and killing the dog. And oh my God. And then like the Babadook like unmasked as if he wasn't creepy enough, like in his disguise, that's what it is. It's his outfit. And he takes his outfit off and he's like a fucking demon or some shit. I don't even know. The thing is, nobody knows what the Babadook is. And it like surprised me that it was still alive and in the basement at the end of the movie. And they just keep it there. They feed it worms and it's kind of like contained. It's always, so I guess that is saying like, you know, your grief is always there. You know, you see it every day and some days are worse than others because when she comes back up and the kid's like, how was the day? She says today was like a quiet day, you know?
And that's a fair ending because grief doesn't, it's always going to be there. You're always going to be sad that you've lost someone, but it shouldn't be the forefront of your life. It should be kind of kept in the basement where you can
exactly
get it whenever you need
yeah.
it.
Yeah, exactly. Because you can't it like it will kind of like, you know, get better over time, but it will never go away. It just will not, because there are certain things that will trigger, you know, a memory or a feeling, you know. And
if you don't deal with it, it will eat you alive, much like Mr.
Exactly.
Babadook.
That's the thing, is like you have to like deal with it in a healthy way every day. Like you can't just like bottle it all up, or else it'll just like just mess things up, you know.
It will eat you.
It will. And that's exactly what it will do, and there's no better way to put it, especially in regards to this movie. Yes. Mm-hmm. So I think we already kind of like talked about like all the real horror show like realities, like as we discuss the movies, like pretty much like, you know, like the guilt and the sadness and like, you know, the like hating your kid because of this like terrible accident and like all that, all these things. So we pretty much covered all that in the reality of it all. But yeah, I think overall this movie gets an A+ because it is really a fabulous movie and I love it. And I can't wait to see her next movie. Like, cause I couldn't imagine being a female director of horror and like putting out a movie of this caliber, because this is like up there with like the greats, I would say. It's
going to be intimidating when her next movie comes out, because.
Yeah, it is.
And I hope it does just as well.
I do too. And I hope that it explores things that like people just haven't yet like unearthed yet, because this really does a great job. I've never seen anything like this one. And this is one that kind of discusses those points, you know, that happen to us in our lives in like such a great way. It's just very put together, and I don't see any there's nothing I can mm-hmm. think of that I don't
so
like.
I guess
about
it's an yeah that fucked me up.
It's an yeah that fucked me up, because the first time I saw it, I was really like, I didn't know what the Babadook like really looked like, so when we actually saw it, I was like, fuck, you know, like, shit, he's there. It's fucking walking, gliding around. Like, I don't like when stuff moves like that at you, not walking. I don't like his scary pterodactyl sound either that he makes. It's so scary. I don't like the three fast knocks. I don't like when he talks on the phone and says in the voice, the Babadook voice. Oh, no, no thanks. Oh. Babadook, dog. Yeah, like that. But like better than that, much more scary than that. I'm gonna call your home phone and say that to you. How would you like that?
I don't have a home phone. Nobody does.
Well, you just got lucky. Once you get a home phone.
I am 26 years old. No one my age uses a home phone.
It's 2019. Nobody needs a landline. What are you gonna do when it rains and the power goes out? You can't call anybody. You use your cell phone. Exactly. Landlines are for losers, or people that get those bundles when they get their cable and they're like, cable
fucking
phone
Verizon
and internet.
Forces you to get a landline still.
Yeah, dude, because I had a landline when I lived in Alexandria, because I had a bundle.
Anyway, read the end.
Because if like you didn't have the bundle, it was like more money, so we're like, fuck, I guess I'll just get a phone and plug it in and nobody will call me.
Anyway, read the notes.
Anyway, fabulous. I've got the outro ready here. So if we're ready, I am ready to go. Real Horror Show was created by Sam Odie and Stormy Skies and is directed by Sam Odie. Today we learned that you should not bottle up your sadness and guilt over a past trauma, and you should deal with it in a healthy way so you don't become a scary monster and kill your dog and try to kill your kid. Yes, absolutely. Like what you hear, you can find Real Horror Show on Spotify, TuneIn, Google Play Store, Stitcher, and iTunes. Really, really like what you hear? Follow us on Twitter at @horrorshow_pod or search for Real Horror Show on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook at Real Horror Show. Like our page and share our stuff. We also have a website that all of our written reviews and podcasts can be found, realhorrorshow.com. Want to interact with us? Want to make sure we're real humans and not space vampires? comment on our website, or email us at realhorrorshowpodcast@gmail.com. Want to argue with us about something, or think you have a really good horror movie review that you're dying to share with two random strangers from the internet? Submissions are open for movie reviews. Please write one. Check out the submit page on our website and follow the rubric before sending us anything. If it is not done according to the rubric, it will be disregarded. Sorry, not sorry. We have written reviews on the website. Read them. They're great, cool. We love horror. And if you're listening, you do too. Please help us keep our project going by visiting our support page on our website, where you can make a one-time donation via PayPal. We also have an Amazon wish list if you feel like buying us something tangible will help convey your love more than a monetary donation would. And buy us a coffee. I'll have to transition to that a little bit better. Buy us a coffee is a link you can click on, and it will send us like $2.50, which is the equivalent of buying a coffee. Fabulous. Submissions are open for a yearly anthology called The October Monologues. Check out the submission guidelines on our website and send us your creepy shit. Any other pertinent news? Well, this was perhaps maybe the final movie to wrap up June, which is Pride Month, and we kind of really had some great discussions about these horror movies that also have themes of LGBTQ and queer relationships. Yes. Any other pertinent news? July is like right around the corner, you guys, so be prepared not to have any fucking new episodes for a whole month. What are you gonna do? Yeah. Oh, I guess you'll just
R.I.P.
die. Our outro song. All right, rest in peace. I don't fucking care. Sam and I need to go vacation. Yes, we do vacation together. We live together. We do this whole thing together. We're talking on the same microphone right now. Yeah, absolutely. Our outro song is called Creepy Doll by Jonathan Coulton. And thank you, fuck off, and have a swell evening.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.